Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss, well, you all know what we discuss. That's because those of you who are tuned in right now are our loyal, regular listeners. And I just want to take this opportunity, instead of, you know, repeating a lot of hyperbole and reading scripts, that we appreciate you calling in, supporting, sharing the message that we're trying to share. Just your support inspires us to keep doing what we're doing. It's vitally important that those of us who realize how important it is to separate from this, our enemies, from our enemies' world into our own communities, those of you who realize how important it is, we appreciate that you're tuning in and you're helping us, and you're helping us focus on what we're trying to do. So I just wanted to put that out there, and I wanted to break up my intro a little bit. So tonight's show, Separation Q&A Panel Discussion. Yes, we will discuss current events in the news that happened between now and last week from a separation point of view. We'll discuss community building, land development, physical relocation, self-sufficiency, assisted living, skilled trades and apprenticeships, and we actually might even get a couple of cameo calls from some of our skilled trades and our engineers. So I'm hoping they're hearing me, and I'm hoping they'll call in. How do we build a model community? What should it look like? What about separate communities within the cities? And most importantly, how will we will entertain your questions, your comments, your observations, regarding separation, and we really want to get your feedback. Are we covering topics that you find interesting, or are we covering topics that's important to you? Are you now making your separation and community building plans based on the show and what we're saying on this show? We need to hear that. We need to know that we're in the right course. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to look and see if any of our panel members are on. It looks like we have one panel member that's eager and willing to contribute to the show. And that looks like Sister Majida Muhammad. Sister Majida Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, Brother Carlton Muhammad. How are you?
I am well, by the grace of Allah. All praises due to Allah and yourself.
I'm fine as well. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Well, sister, it looks like we also have our brother, Dr. Rishdi. I'm going to open his mic up. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Rishdi.
Walaikum salam, sir.
How are you this evening?
I'm fine.
Praise be to Allah. So, yes, sir. So, basically, I was letting our thanking our listeners, letting them know that we appreciate their listenership, and hopefully they'll call in and give comments and feedbacks on what we're attempting to do. You know, Dr. Rizli and Sister Majida, you know, it's just such a blessing to be a Muslim follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because no one else is actually having these discussions. No one else really thinks that it's possible for Black people brought up here as former slaves here in America that we can actually separate and run, build, and operate communities of our own, let alone a nation. And being members of the Nation of Islam, we know that not is it just possible, that it's inevitable. So we have the opportunity to get ahead of the game. Instead of reacting to events that's going to happen, it's like, you know, we see the prophecy and we have the opportunity to be at the forefront. So what do you all think about that?
Well, first of all, last week, the show that you and Sister Majida did, I thought was very, very informative and made the process of separation very doable. What we have here is two things. One is actual doing something different. It's going to require some work and breaking away from family and friends. And habits, and then we have something that's really difficult, and that's breaking away a domesticated human, like a domesticated pet. You know, I've seen a number of shows on TV, on PBS, talk about what happens when they pick up a baby gorilla or a baby rhinoceros or whatever, and then, you know, bring it to their home and treat it like family. And when it's time to leave, they try to put it back in the wild. It's very difficult because they have attached themselves to that human family. And we were bred to be slaves. We weren't slaves in Africa. We were brought over here and then bred to be slaves. And this is what we're used to. We're used to making massa happy. And we're not happy unless massa happy. So it is a great psychological break for massa. And that's the first level of separation, is make that break that, look, I don't need massa to survive. God is sufficient and the universe that he has. So it's difficult to make that move under Christianity, with that white Jesus in our heads and around our necks and in the house. So even though non-Muslims can come with us, but it's hard for them to make that break because of their training. And then we have problems making that break because we got family members who are in places and we don't want to leave them, so it's difficult. But Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has told us that Allah is going to make us separate anyway, so we might as well get prepared and do it voluntarily before we are forced to.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Dr. Vigil, you said something on Sister Ava's show this week that I've never heard before. It's very interesting. And you said that when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan asked the research team to do research to prepare for the UFO conference that we had at Savior's Day, that you all, or you in particular, or you all learned that the Chinese were possibly receiving technology from the wheel. And that's fascinating in itself. But the one thing that stuck with me, you said that us being Allah's chosen people, and I'm paraphrasing and you can clear it for me, that we will, you know, receive that kind of technological advantage. However, we have to be in a position to be able to receive that. Can you discuss that and in the context of what we're trying to do with the separation movement? Dr. Ridgely, can you all hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann. Okay, Dr. Ridgely is having some technical difficulties. Inshallah, he'll be on. But Sister Majida, did you all hear the question that I posed to Dr. Ridgely?
Well, actually, I did hear that question, but I was thinking when Dr. Ridgely was speaking before and just on the difficulty factors that we faced in our mental assessment of whether or not we want to leave or can leave or the difficulty factors surrounding us leaving. And, you know, I was thinking about a quote or an excerpt that we have in the manual that came from Morris Turner in his book. He's the author of Black Towns and Settlements. And it
yes,
made
ma'am.
Me think about when you talk about the difficulty, you know, often I think back on what our folks, our ancestors went through and the kind of environment that they had to deal with and their desire to leave and have a better life. And he writes, and if I may just take a minute to read it, because when Doc was mentioning difficulties, it said, "The story of Black pioneers who actively participated in the town-building movement in the United States is an incredible yet neglected story. These women and men, facing treacherous physical surroundings and even more harsh and unaccommodating human environments, circumvented legislated racial supremacy by cultivating communities in areas whites considered uninhabitable." And when you think about that, and just in our environment, Carlton, where we live, and just some of the undeveloped areas that are around us and the trees and, you know, the high grass and things like that, and I think about what our people were willing to do in order to have communities of our own. And then I reflect on that and look at us today and just, you know, just wonder what will it take to make us, you know, have that or cause us to have that strong a desire to develop, not just want the communities, but to go about the process of developing the communities. So, you know, that's always something I'm thinking about. And when Dr. Ridgely talked about the difficulties, it brought me to think on that, and I just wanted to share that.
Well, praise be to Allah. Thank you for sharing that, and I'm going to take this opportunity right now to introduce one of our other panel members. Looks like our brother Tony Muhammad from the Skilled Trades has joined us. Brother Tony, is that you?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. We're glad to have you, brother.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. It's a very good show. There are, if you don't mind, I would like to just first thank you and Sister Majita and Dr. Ridgely, Sister Ann, for the work that you all are doing to keep the fire alive for us to at least discuss separation. It's a very difficult subject matter, but it's even more difficult in terms of the socioeconomic dynamics and challenges that we face today. If I take you back in history a little bit, you'll kind of understand the difference in terms of why we were able to develop these black townships. For one, let's go back to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I did some extensive research on Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the deeper you get in the research, you'll find that it's, you know, you're almost on the edge of your seat, almost as though you're watching some kind of a movie. When you look at how O.W. Gurley, who is the founder of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, he was a wealthy landowner already. Okay, he worked for, under Grover Cleveland's, worked in his cabinet. So he resigned with his wealth, went out for the Oklahoma land grab, which people were going down into Oklahoma and the Midwest and all down into Texas. You know, the oil industry was booming. So there were opportunities for them to make a decent wage, but he decided to take his wealth and carve out a section of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that's how he started. He later found, or at least partnered with a friend, J.B. Stratford, who was also wealthy. He decided to also invest in that particular area. That's just one aspect of it that I think we may not be comprehending altogether. We have wealth as a people, but in terms of the strategy, I don't think that we have the actual understanding of how the politics is involved in how we go forward with separation. Mm-hmm. We may have an idea, and it's starting to become a topic, but we still come at a halt when it comes to the finances. So I'm thinking that our issue at this juncture is part and parcel. It's financial. Some of it's financial. Many of us have wealth. We've retired, got 401ks, but we're not connected to a political system, or at least comprehending the politics that's involved in separation, because there is politics involved in separation. It's not just like a Ten Commandments type of situation where we just go exodus like that. There's some politics that's involved with it, and I think that we need to get a handle on it. If you study how Booker T. Washington moved forward, he had to use the resources that were available at that present time, but he was able to develop a curriculum that was centered around the actual construct of what he wanted to see for his community. Okay, so he needed to build his institution. Well, he had carpentry courses. He had brick masonry courses to build the institution. So we're looking at some complexities today that I don't think that we're understanding. We've been manipulated so much by these Jews that it completely dispels the idea that even if we have the financial wealth, that we can actually go ahead and do it. I mean, look, they keep playing the game. They've taken one black leader, one black wealthy man after another down, one after another, from Michael Jackson and Prince, Bill Cosby. What do you think that does to the psyche of the black man and woman who think that we got some wealth, we're going to buy NBC, we're going to own our own rights to our own music, and now all of a sudden we're dead? So we're dealing with a whole lot today that I don't think that we were dealing with back then. So that's my spin on it. If you would like to comment or you got any questions on it, I'd like to answer.
Yeah, I got a comment, brother. You really brought an element to the show, brother, that's badly needed. You gave us a little history lesson, you gave us finances, and you gave us some social economics, brother. So we appreciate that comment. And what we're going to do is we have another of our panel members that wants to chime in this conversation. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him now. This is Brother Louis Ali. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Louis.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Carlton and fellow panel members and Sister Majida. And, of course, thank Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann and everyone for keeping this powerful show going. Time to leave. How you doing?
All praise due to Allah. We're doing well.
Sure.
So what you got for us, Brother Louis?
I'd like to chime in on the discussion Tony was saying. He mentioned Black Wall Street. And I think it's real important for us to understand that Black Wall Street, when we built it, there was no such thing as a FICO score. Because oftentimes we say it's money that's holding us back, but I don't believe that it's money. It's actually the burning desire in the will. They created the FICO score to stop the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from getting black people to pool their resources together. And it's real important that our group put this research out here. In fact, if you Google FICO score, the whole Fair Isaac will come up, and it will talk about the Stanford College professors that were there studying how to sell to Negroes, and they came out with this FICO score in 1956, and I think they came out with the Playboy Bunny Mansion around that time, too, and started allowing so-called Negroes to go to the Playboy Bunny Mansion to take them away from the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, when we start talking about separation, in order to make separation attractive, it is my belief that we have to show that we are morally superior to Caucasians in order to make it most attractive. Because if we're going to be ill-mannered, ill-spoken, and degenerate Negroes, then no, our people can't see the sense in it. So it's real important that we have moral supremacy. And look, this is what we had when we came away from slavery. We may have not had as much money as we have now, or access, so to speak, because white banks didn't give black people loans, period. And when they set up a bank for you, they usually stole your money and left town. So black people were very leery of putting their money in the banks. They pooled their money together, oftentimes doing what many immigrants come to this country and do together. They voted among themselves who the leaders would be. This is what the supper clubs and freedom schools down in Mississippi were all about. So you had a leader within your community who you trusted enough to pool your resources with, and that's how you begin to do things. But it's called desire, and this is why the Honorable Louis Farrakhan's study guides are so important on building the will, building desire. You can't go to the bank of Walmart and buy desire. This is something from within. And every time you hear the words of inspiration from this show, Time to Leave, or you hear Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann on the farm, or you, Brother Carlton, all of this is inspiration to build the will and build the desire. And I think it's so important, as Brother Tony was saying, that we study Black Wall Street and understand that Black Wall Street wasn't just in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Black people had, if you go back and study old black newspapers and periodicals, you will see that they had people who they put in the newspaper, and they said, this young boy is a credit to the race. Because they were teaching black people at that time that in order to compete, you must be 2 or 3, if not 10 times better than the white man. This is stuff that we're missing now, where we think that somebody should give us a grant, or we don't have the money, or we can't do it because of some old weak reason. But we always were able to do it in the past because we had the burning desire and we had moral supremacy. Our morals were in check. We had better morality than what we have today. Many of us are losing, I'll say this in closing, we're losing sympathy with one another. because we no longer believe that we are morally superior to the white man. In fact, many of us will say we're just like the white man. And that's why, as Brother Tony said, when they slander Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, Russell Simmons, Kobe Bryant, or any black man that the Me Too movement or whatever movement, and I'm not minimizing that the assault on women, but
right.
I'm saying they're making it so that when you look around for a decent, moral black man, no one pops in your mind. And I really believe, other than the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and I really believe that they're trying to take this somewhere else, and it's so important for us to push this desire to leave them alone and build our own.
Exactly.
Mm, that's right. Thank you, Brother Lewis. Ooh,
can I say something? Can I
Please.
Say something? Yes, this is Brother Tony again. Brother Lewis is so correct. I still would like to bring our attention to the socioeconomic challenges. And I'll say there's a difference in terms of what we were dealing with yesterday and today. First and foremost, we have social media today. Now, we have cell phones today. We have, look, I'm finding out the cities are just locations for criminals. A lot of people who are thieves and robbers, they go to cities to hide out. And so we have bigger cities. Everything in the world is get bigger, make bigger, make it bigger. Now what you're finding out is even in construction, they're starting to realize that them building bigger power plants and bigger hospitals and bigger this and that, well, they think that they made a mistake because the infrastructure can't maintain all of this big stuff. So they're starting to minimize the size of even power plants now. They're doing what they call package power plants now. They're really small. So they would rather do multiple smaller ones than they would one big large one. So we're looking at a situation where we are being bombarded left and right, up and down, to and fro, with misinformation, with a lot of distractions, and it ain't just that there's a public lynching, like what we're seeing with Bill Cosby, that it was only a group of people that we now can see today with research, and even through the internet, you see images of our black bodies being burned and then being postcards made. Those are a select group of people or a very small group of white people in the country that were witnessing that. Well, now you see a black man getting shot down. Well, millions of people, possibly billions all over the world are seeing those same images. So we are being numb to it now. We don't see that this issue is hitting us as a whole. We're seeing it as, well, it's just like entertainment. I'll just get some popcorn and watch this. Or wait till the next protest happens. So we're being bombarded with misinformation.
Right?
Sir, that includes Muslims as well, brother. Even though we are out in the streets, for the most part, going door to door, once the job is done, we're back in our homes. We're back on social media. We're back on Facebook, commenting on the same thing that the masses of people are commenting on. And it would spend so much time trying to fight off the misinformation. We're spending input equals output. We are using so much of our energy trying to dispel the misinformation that we don't see that is not the physical removal of the misinformation in terms of us being able to separate, getting the heck away from all of this, what's causing the misinformation, which is the white man, period. Get away from his world. If we were without power for at least a month, I believe that after we go through withdrawals, I believe that we'll finally start to realize that we need to separate.
Something's
got to happen on the level that we are absolutely in need of each other and not that we're able to get a quick fix off of social media. So that's my take on it.
Ooh, thank you. Well, Brother Tony, what I'm going to do now, and panel members, looks like we have a caller who may have a question. So I'm going to open up this caller's mic. Assalamu alaikum, caller, but the last four digits, 6569. What is your name and where are you calling from?
This is a warrior woman. I'm calling from California.
And, oh, my. Yes, my native sister, right?
Right. Peace and love. Forward.
Peace and love.
Yes,
thank you,
I was
sister.
Calling. Oh, you're welcome. You know, we've been living off the land in the last maybe going on 40 years now. And it's nice to wake up and you don't see no white people. You know, so separation should have been a long time ago.
Yes, ma'am. I could imagine. Imagine. It's got to be a wonderful feeling.
People should actually start grouping off and saying, you know, what's a professional, you know, what do we have to offer to you know, for the community to back
mm-hmm.
off or get away from the white man's world? How do we
mm-hmm.
detox, you know, because it takes a while. I mean, we have people coming for the weekend, and we have no electricity. We have Coleman lights or we have flashlights or something like that, and people do go
mm-hmm.
through a withdrawal. And if we're going to separate, I think a little, you know, questionnaire should be put up. How much are you
mm-hmm.
willing to sacrifice? How
mm-hmm.
how much do you have to bite your tongue and not, you know, because we're building a nation. And
mm-hmm.
I think there's people have to start getting to that, you know, but to also know that, you know, some of you can't go back to just total creation. You have to use some of the equipment that the white man has made, which they got the idea from us, right? So,
yes, ma'am.
You know, so I think we can't go totally back. I think some of us can, but the majority. And I believe that we will. You know, we will separate. You know, I'm just hoping sooner.
Yes, ma'am. Well, so that's a, you know, I love that comment. I love what you said also. I mean, you know, you all have the legacy and the history of having this nation to yourselves. You have the confidence. You know, that you have governed, and you had just a few generations ago, you all have continued to govern yourselves, whereas the black man, we've come here as slaves, and because we've been bombarded, what Brother Tony was talking about, the socioeconomic reality here, we don't have the confidence that we can do what you all are doing right now. So we look to you as examples on how to, you know, the attitudes and the spirit you should have to want to govern yourself.
Yeah, it's up to the people. It's up to the people, the masses of the people, the community, to make that decision to move forward.
Mm.
And our leaders have to be that role model that, you know, that it can happen. Because we have
mm-hmm.
elders and we have ceremonies and we have language and culture that keeps us going, you know, to not be afraid of the white man. Because once you realize as a warrior that they can only kill the body, they can't kill our spirit.
Mm. mm-hmm.
You know, so they can see this poison is. And whatever, but we're still going to go on, even in spiritual form.
Mm.
Sounds to me like we need to make a pilgrimage there, Sister Warrior Woman.
Yes, I've been waiting for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anybody have any questions in the panel? Anyone want to ask Sister Warrior Woman or any comments?
Well, no, this is Dr. Ridgely. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yes sir.
Sister Ann would like to make a comment. Her number is last number is 9293.
Okay, I had her mic open. Let's see. Yeah, her mic's open. I see her. Let me close it and open it again.
Okay, I
still read. Okay, Sister Ann. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I've heard all of the comments so far, and I still hold to what's holding us back and our people back is, you know, we need to see in action what we're talking about. We need a prototype. And we ourselves acting as though that is an impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a family who's moved here to the farm area with the desire to assist the two of us who are the laboring body here at Muhammad Farms in Georgia. The messenger saw fit to purchase the original 4,500 acres here in Georgia. Mr. Farrakhan was able to redeem the 1,600 acres that the owner at that time was willing to sell back to the nation. Now, we have this land. The land can never be owned by anyone other than the nation. But week before last, I was fortunate enough to go to a conference, well, a weekend workshop, really, one of our task members put together. There's a man in Commerce, Georgia, a builder for 30 years. He has a 4,000-square-foot home that he moved out of because he was in what they call a upside-down mortgage, where the value of the home was just continuing to diminish and his house note was going up. He made a decision. If the bank would not let him do something to decrease his mortgage, he was going to just let them have the home. Well, I didn't get into what really transpired with that, but what happened is he moved from that 4,000-square-foot house and built him an alternative building material home that is very palatial, using shipping containers. His home is completely paid for and it's fabulous. He has a sauna in his home. How many of us have that? Even in some of these palatial places, we are paying thousands of dollars a month for these what I call cookie cutter homes in these subdivisions. And what I see from being on Facebook also, we have to come into unity as to what the future should look like. I'm still seeing people posting pictures of somebody else's mansion as one day we will live like this. Not all of us want to live like that, because when we come down to reality, I want the minister to live like that. But I can be very comfortable with much, much less of a structure as a home, because a home is not the building anyway. And we just have to come into focus as to what it really means by a good home. Does it mean $1 million mansion, or can it be a container-built home that you are very, very comfortable in? Is that also a good home? We have tricked our own minds, and I think the minister said we use deceptive intelligence. We don't really delve into what we have deep enough to get a deeper understanding to know that it's not all just surface stuff when we say good home. It's not just the building itself. So I still say we need a prototype. And what I learned on that weekend, it is extremely doable. We want it here at the farm. We have the land. Nobody can own this land but the nation. What this man is also doing, and he has his first leasing with a 99-year lease. His community is going to be a container home community. His home is the first one, and weekend before last, the person who had the 99-year lease was also there laying the groundwork and clearing his lot to start his build. And he has other people who are wanting that. These are people who understand what it's going to take to really be free. We have been given to us supreme wisdom. But are we really trying to dissect that and get the ultimate meaning or deeper meaning the words are saying to us? Now, today we got to get out of this old habit of, you know, yeah, we got celebrities who are millionaires. But you know what I think about those people? I don't even think, they're not even a part of my reality. They're just somebody I see on TV. I don't even think about them when I think about real life. And, you know, when you look at them, they have all of this stuff. They have the big mansion, but they're not happy. So it's not just that that's going to make us happy and content. And I want Dr. Risley, when he comes back on, to give the definition of what the minister or the messenger says is. What is it, Dr. Rizzo? You're listening.
Yeah, the question is the what somebody asked, what did the messenger say was success?
Okay, and, success, yeah.
Yeah, and the paraphrase, and also the minister said, success is peace of mind and contentment. That's one success. That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, Minister Farrakhan said, success is having an idea and then making that idea a reality, doing that which you intend to do. In other words, you have to have a goal, a vision. You have to want to do something, and then you put your mind to it and you accomplish it. That is success. This is what the brother you are talking about is doing in building those homes. He has something in his mind, and he's making it happen. So he is successful, and he is happy. Before I was cut off, Verizon don't like me that much. But anyway, before I was cut off, I was trying to describe how the Chinese say that There's a part of the government of China whose job is to communicate with the people on the wheel. They don't call it the wheel, they call it UFOs. But they said they're in communication with them, and that some of the technology that they have, they got the idea from those people. And now China has jumped ahead of the West, ahead of America, ahead of England, ahead of Germany in terms of technology. And so I was just saying that Master Farrakhan Muhammad wants to give that to us, but we have to be separated and producing so that when he gives it to us, we can put it, the idea, and make it a reality and then sell it. And then you have all the money that you would want if you come up with a technology that the world has never heard of before and it fits into what the world needs and the world wants. Then we become the power in the world. Do that, working on the white man's job or looking to work on the white man's job, looking to integrate with him, we are not going to be able to receive our reward. So the reason I am on the farm and I want to separate is that I really believe that we can build a better world than the white man has built, not just on a moral or
spiritual
basis.
That's right.
Physical basis. We can build a better car. We can build a better house. We can develop a better energy system. I really believe that we can better air transportation. I really believe that we can do a better job. But we got to get started. But when you don't have confidence in yourself and you've been broken down to think that you can't do these things, then you put in a bad position, not moving. I'm going to say this one more thing. Whenever I give presentations at Savior's Day the last 2 years, I talk about Cuba. Because Minister Farrakhan brought me down there with other people in 2006. And Cuba, the people in Cuba love freedom more than luxury. I'm going to say that. The Cuban people love their freedom more than they do luxury and comfort. We love luxury and comfort more than we love freedom.
Wow.
Exactly.
And the
That's
devil
real.
Gives us some comforts and some pieces of his luxury that he stole from the world. He gives us his Negro slaves some of those trinkets, and we think we are in heaven when in fact still are in jail in hell. So I believe that we can build a better world, but we got to get started sometime. Somebody's got to make a move. Everybody does not have that type of personality to be the pioneer. But those who are pioneers, we say, let's move out. Let's make it happen. The others will
move out.
Come eventually. From Lincoln.
Thank you, Dr. Vision. Before we make our panelists, before we make our comments, and I know we're chomping at the bit to add what our brother, Dr. Vision, said, we have a caller. And so I'd like to give this caller, who's been holding, an opportunity to make a comment or leave a question. Caller, with the last four digits, 8387, what is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Sister Pamela, and I'm calling from Houston, Texas. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Sir, how are you? Yes, sir. I was listening to Brother Tony, and I kind of came in late, but I liked hearing what he was saying because I know the show totally concentrates on physical separation of our bodies to a place. But here lately, I've been dealing with the issue of separation of our needs and we actually solving our own problems, you know, in the society that we live in, and separating our bodies, you know, that's like utopia to me. But I think what, you know, kind of what he was saying, it was touching upon this problem that I see, because we're at a point now where we can't depend on anybody else to solve our problem. Black people, we got to solve our problem. And I think with the messenger's examples of building businesses, of course, we've got a great economic example. But I think one question we have, even as it relates to separating our bodies, everything's so profit-driven. So if we're not, it's almost like we're going to have to use the monies that we make to live, and maybe the profits are not going to really be. And I think I've heard people talk about bartering and stuff like that. But I just wondered if anybody could give any input, if I'm making any sense.
Well,
on,
yes, ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am. This is Brother Carlton. If Brother Tony's line, I'd like him to comment. However, if you can clarify one thing you said. You said physical separation is like utopia. What do you mean by that?
Well, my thing is that I'm tied to right now. I mean, barring maybe doing some online work, my work requires a license, so I'm kind of tied to two places. And so, for me to be able to relocate, of course, I'd have to have some income sources. You know that. It would be a little bit more difficult based on what I do for a living, unless I could really do some online mail order, something like that, doing some legal services. And, of course, you know, I could do business. But, like I say, in the reality that I'm in right now, you know, it's kind of customer-driven. But I like helping, like, you know, like you say, we're building a better world. So that world's going to include a lot of our people. Right now, we know that the major model for helping people is this non-for-profit model. I don't like that model, and I think it's, you know, of course, it's kind of played out, and it's not going to last, and we don't need to keep relying on other people outside of our community to help us and our people who need. So that's why, you know, again, I got this thing about, we have to separate our problems and solve our own problems without requiring outside resources. And I think sometimes when we hear, like Brother Ishmael may have mentioned it this Sunday, about how going into your communities and making those self-sufficient, maybe where you're at.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
so I think it all ties together, but yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I just have to clarify this for our listeners. We in the separation, time to leave movement, we don't see separating physically as utopia, unless you want to call where we're going to, when you say utopia, it kind of paints the picture that it's something that's not doable. Yes, ma'am. I just want to say your language, just want to be careful, because as Muslims, you know, we don't look at it as being something that's not doable, something that's definitely doable. So, but I'm going to let
Let me just clarify real quick. I don't mean for everybody. I'm just saying for me and my reality at this second. But I'm with you, brother. That's why I listen. I support it, and would love to do that. So I did not mean to insult, the idea.
No, ma'am.
I was looking at my baby steps, my stealing away here.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
What I mean. Utopia means
Tony.
I'm not there yet.
Okay, brother Tony, you on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. Go ahead. Comment.
Well, I mean, I think I heard someone say on the conference call the other night that there are levels to this. And I know that, we want to see the separation happen, like, immediately. We want to see a prototype immediately. The process of actually removing yourself from one area to another, especially when you have a family, requires a lot of planning, like you did yourself, Brother Carlton. I didn't speak on that topic of separation in terms of us physically removing ourselves to try to leave it for us to say, well, maybe there's some subjective stuff that I'm trying to put out there. No, what I'm saying is there's a lot of distractions. It seems like when we start getting focused on even unifying, just like, say, for instance, with the boycott movement, like we'll boycott one minute and then the next minute we're lost. We don't even remember the last boycott. You see what I'm saying? And so, yeah, right now we boycotting Starbucks. Right now we spending money with our own coffee shops. But as soon as there's another distraction on social media or someone on the internet, we have lost it. So all I'm saying is this. We have to remove our attention from what we are used to, and that is the everyday norm, the internet, the TV, sound bites, so on and so forth, and hone in on something that we can get prepared to separate. Get a skill. You ain't going to just separate no area and you ain't got no skills to take care of nothing. You got to have some skills, because once you separate, well, are you going to go to the same white man to get help for your plumbing, your electricity? No, you're not going to be able to go to him. Is he going to be providing your power for you? No, this thing has got to happen on levels or in levels. So that's all I'm saying. It's going to take something. It's going to take there may be a few of us that make a move out the gate, but I'm telling you, there's more distractions that we can get a handle on, and we have to remove ourselves from that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, all movements have to start. So we're talking about people who are self-starters and want to start. However, the environment to make an easy move is not going to get easier. It's about economics. I bought a pickup truck for $2,750. All right? I was paying $75 a month for 3 years for that pickup truck. You can't get insurance for $75 a month. Now the pickup truck is $43,000. And counting. You're never going to be able to work yourself smoothly out of his system because it's going to increase the cost of everything. Now people are talking about their light bill, their water bill, or their gas bill. They're being jacked up to drain you. So all you have to do, think about is trying to survive. So, yes, go to Million Man March, or we have a boycott and we forget. No, what happens is the economic reality of your life forces you to forget because you got to do something to pay them damn bills. And it ain't going to get no easier because he know what he's doing. The enemy knows exactly what he's doing. So somebody's going to have to make a break, establish something for the others to follow, because those people are locked into some type of economic situation that they can't break away from.
Very true. Very true.
And that's basically what I'm saying about the prototype. You know, we just keep sitting around waiting, and waiting. You know, yeah, there are some people who are ready to do it right now. And I think about, I reflected on myself before I was married to Dr. Ridgely. You know, I heard about the farm being down here, and I was just over the top. And I wanted to do all I could do to help. There are other single sisters out there who feel the same way, who could make a move if there was some place for them to move to. And I have a job for them. I have an idea for an enterprise that we can do almost overnight if I had the proper help at hand. So, you know, I don't want to put everything out there out front first, but, you know, a lot, you know, I see it happening in my personal life. You know, we get over this fear that we're going to fail if I move too fast, you know, I might trip up. I remember a lecture the minister taught some time ago, and I just heard some parts of it repeated. Don't nothing worry about a roof over their heads but us. I'm collecting birds' nests now, and I see the little birds. You know, I go around and I mulch with coconut fiber and around some of the pots, and I see
where
the
little.
I was wondering,
2.5 minutes.
The little birds know how to go and get that and start making their nest. So everything we need is out there in nature. So we just got to move. And I want to say I understand what Sister Pam was saying about utopia, separation being that. It would be that for me. And I just looked up the definition, one of the definitions for utopia. It's a perfect environment with the socio and political atmosphere that you desire. And if we had our own community, we could have that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, down to 1:45. So if the panelists want to make very brief comments, any brief closing comments, very brief.
I just want to know what's on for next week.
The show for next week, we have an exciting, very exciting show that's to be announced.
Okay.
Okay, any closing comments from any of the panelists?
Well, I just like to piggyback, like pigweed, on what Sister Ann is saying, and also to announce that the Muhammad Farms is sponsoring the first annual Muhammad Farms Weed Pulling Festival for May 19th, Saturday, May 19th, start at 8 a.m. And for volunteers, Sister Ann will provide a beautiful meal for all volunteers. So we're going to start a festival. We're going to make working fun right here at Muhammad Farms. You know, this is how you build a new world. You define what fun is.
10 seconds.
You define it. So we are defining fun as pulling and throwing weeds at each other. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. There you've heard it first on the Time to Leave Human Blog Talk Radio Show. We want to thank you for listening, and please continue to tune in and share with your friends. And thank you for tuning in. Hear you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you? Bring me home.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth, and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry.